Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How's the Iowa legislative session going? Let's go in-depth with Democratic Leader of the Senate, Zach Walls. Well, Senator, how's the legislative session going from your perspective?
Well, it's certainly been an unusual session with COVID-19 affecting how our operations are going. And so it's been a very different from any of the other sessions that I've been involved with. From a policy or a political perspective, I think it's kind of strange that the pandemic that has caused these new or different operations for the legislature has gotten very little actual attention from a policymaking perspective here at the State House. COVID-19 was really not on the agenda from the Republican majorities in the Senate or the House. And I understand that we're all tired. We're all ready to get back to something resembling normal life and to put this all behind us. But we still got a ways to go, unfortunately.
Well, and what would you want to put on the agenda were you the majority leader?
Well, we had a four-part agenda that we introduced working with our counterparts in the House Democratic Caucus. We introduced over 24 different pieces of legislation, and they were really kind of four key buckets that we had our focus on. The first, of course, was trying to accelerate deployment of the vaccine. As you and your listeners know, we got off to a very slow start with deploying the vaccine here in Iowa. Thankfully, with the leadership of the Biden administration and the ramping up of vaccine supply, we've managed to get caught up for the most part. But that was one big focus for us early on. Second was trying to make sure that we had funds authorized to help the folks who are hurting the most. The American Rescue Plan has obviously done a terrific job of getting relief out the door and helping folks who are hurting, but we know that there are still enormous needs here in our state. One of the things that was really salient for us was trying to expand support for food banks. We know that food insecurity for families with children in Iowa has more than tripled since the start of the pandemic, and so we thought that would be a really good way of both creating demand for some of our food and agricultural products here in Iowa, as well as providing support to folks who need it the most. Next was kind of a broad category of things about trying to build back better and making sure that we're making the investments at this moment so that as we emerge from the pandemic, we're on a strong footing to really fully recover. Those are things that we actually thought there were some really strong bipartisan agreement, things like broadband, childcare, affordable housing. And these are issues that were all relevant before the pandemic, but that have really been underlined as the pandemic has proceeded over the last year. And then the final thing, Bob, was what we are calling a COVID commission. Like I said, I know that we're all ready to move on, but we have to make sure that we learn the lessons of this pandemic. This has been a once-in-a-century event, and so if we don't create, from our perspective, we want a bipartisan commission, not a Democrat or Republican-led entity, but an independent commission that can investigate and document the successes and the failures of both state government and the private sector. We all heard about some of the abuses that happened up in places like the Tyson plant in Waterloo with a kind of workplace negligence. Trying to get to the bottom, was that happening in other places as well? And then ensure that we are better prepared when the next pandemic strikes, because we know it's only a matter of time.
Well, I think that, well, based upon my knowledge of the differences, differing perspective among legislators and people, you know, just my friends, what is deemed a success or a failure will likely depend upon your political point of view.
I think there's probably some truth to that. I do think that there were instances where there's some pretty clear-cut violations of the law. I mean, for example, the governor misusing some of the federal money to pay for this HR program and to pay for some of her office's staff salaries. That's one thing that I think is pretty objectively something that was not good, and obviously what happened up in Waterloo with that Tyson plant up there. We need to get a better understanding of how prevalent that was. We only learned about that because of a lawsuit that was filed by some of the workers up there. We don't yet have a clear sense of what kind of violations like that were occurring across the state. You know, one of the issues is that the legislature, when it was reconvened last June, passed this law that essentially gave blanket legal immunity to large employers. Now, I certainly understand that there were some large employers that were trying to figure out the best way to keep employees safe, but I think that law really threw the baby out with the bathwater and just gave them really a blank check, and so we need to figure out what really happened after that law was passed.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with the Democratic leader of the Iowa Senate, Zach Walls. President Biden's American Job Plan is coming out, and it's coming out big, and you mentioned it. And so how do you work so that Iowa takes the best advantage of this plan to utilize it in the best possible way for Iowans when your Republican colleagues may not think the American Jobs Plan is a good plan?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. When U.S. Senator Joni Ernst said last week that she wasn't sure if broadband was infrastructure, let me be very clear. Broadband is infrastructure. It's really critical that Iowa is positioning ourselves in the best possible fashion so that we can take full utilization of the federal resources that President Biden's American Jobs Plan, which some of your listeners may kind of anecdotally hear referred to as the infrastructure bill, is able to actually provide to our state. We know that broadband is a priority, should be a good bipartisan priority. We've gotten a little bit of policy going here. I think that there are additional changes that we could make to our broadband program that would make us more competitive for federal dollars. I've actually worked to help develop an amendment, a bipartisan amendment, although Republicans haven't yet taken it up, so I hope that changes here in the closing weeks of session. And then I think the other thing that folks need to realize, it's not just about, I think, what used to be called the information superhighway. It's also about our actual highways and our roads and bridges. Iowa's infrastructure is currently ranked, I think, like C-minus by some national groups in terms of the quality of our bridges. And that's not a surprise. I mean, we know that we get a lot of wear and tear on our infrastructure from a lot of our large agricultural implements. And that's not a problem as long as we don't delay that maintenance too long. You can't kick the can forever. And so I think it's really important that we get this injection of federal infrastructure money. I know that the previous administration under President Trump talked about Infrastructure Week for basically 4 years. President Biden has made Infrastructure Week a priority in his first 100 days. So my hope is that we'll see legislation passed and audited in the 4th of July, and we'll start to see those projects come online later this year or next year at the very latest.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with the Democratic leader of the Iowa Senate, Zach Walls. Well, broadband is certainly infrastructure. Some of the other things in the plan aren't traditionally infrastructure like housing and childcare, but arguing whether or not the latter two are infrastructure or not is sort of missing the point. Are they good ideas?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and I need to look a little bit more closely at some of those details, but it's no secret that affordable housing is a huge issue in our state, whether you're in an urban part of Iowa or a rural part of Iowa. We know that there's a shortage of affordable, quality housing, and so I'm really excited to see what the American Jobs Plan is able to do to help solve that problem here in our state. And when it comes to care work, I mean, we knew that those fields were struggling, again, before the pandemic hit. And the thing that I would simply say on those infrastructure, to the extent that's infrastructure, it's a critical part of our economy. I mean, that's what infrastructure is, right? Infrastructure, it's the building blocks that if you don't have those, the rest of the economy doesn't work. It's the foundation. And when you think about that kind of work, that's a big part of our foundation of our economy.
Now, it wasn't very long ago that Iowa was a purple state, and it seems pretty red right now. What are Democrats doing to, to gain inroads primarily into rural Iowa?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always have to remind folks it was just, about 6 months ago where we had three Democratic representatives in the U.S. House. We were pretty close in the state house. Obviously, there was no doubt we're very disappointed to lose Representative Finkenauer, and the second congressional district was maybe the most famous congressional race in America there for a couple of weeks. So there were some really close elections. I certainly don't think anyone should be writing the Democratic Party off, even though we're definitely in a rebuilding position right now. I'm excited about the future, which is a big part of why I took on the job of being the Senate Democratic leader here at the Iowa State House. In terms of what the specifics are, there are a couple of different things. One, I think that there's been more focus on some of those I just mentioned, the U.S. House races, on some of the individual contests rather than on the real kind of Democratic Party infrastructure, which has been, I think, kind of atrophying over the last 7 or 8 years since we lost kind of a top-of-the-ticket statewide office when Senator Harkin retired in 2014. And so I think that there's going to be some renewed attention on rebuilding some of that infrastructure, both at the state party as well as across the 99 county central committees that are really the backbone of the party. And then, of course, another big piece of this is going to be candidate recruitment, making sure that we're recruiting strong candidates in rural Iowa from small towns to get out the Democratic message about what's happening in our state and across the country. And I'll say the one thing that's a little bit of a challenge right now, Bob, is this whole issue with redistricting and the fact that we're not actually sure at this point what the state house districts are going to look like in 2022. And so there's a little bit of time yet before we know what that looks like. But once we have those districts clearly identified, I think you'll see recruitment shift into high gear.
Well, now a lot of other states have problems with gerrymandering and bizarrely shaped districts, and Iowa is well known for its bipartisan process. You think we're going to be able to keep that?
I do. The good news is that here in Iowa, Democrats and Republicans have agreed that our independent and nonpartisan process is a gold standard, and I certainly would continue to support our system as it is. I think the key thing now is to make sure that we don't rush the process. There's currently a delay, and the previous administration under President Trump had an enormous challenge trying to conduct the federal census. It is difficult in normal times, let alone during a global pandemic. So there have been some delays gathering that U.S. census data. And the reason that affects Iowa is that we can't begin our process until we have that federal data from the U.S. Census Bureau. What we shouldn't do is rush to use provisional data, because we're going to have these maps for a decade, and we don't want to accidentally disenfranchise people because we used provisional or preliminary data that wasn't fully complete.
Has there been any analysis to show, are certain groups overrepresented or underrepresented in the last census because of the pandemic?
There hasn't been that I'm aware of, but I do know that that is a part of the methodological work that is being done at the federal level to try and ensure that we have the most accurate data possible. Again, as I mentioned, it's always difficult to do a census. It's even harder during a global pandemic. And so I think that the previous administration was working, against some real headwinds. And now they've kind of passed the baton to the Biden administration, which is trying to land the plane, so to speak.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I know that this is a tough time, and my hope is that as summer begins to really warm up here, we're able to finally put the pandemic behind us and get back to work on rebuilding here in our state and across the country. It's been a difficult year, and I think we're all looking forward to reconnecting and rebuilding.
Thanks to Zach Walls for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.